Amen. We're going to take a break. Here's one more message. I'm still developing it on the last thing that what people who want to be blessed should know. Okay? So we're taking a break from that. Tonight, it's an easy title tonight, Joe. It's Words. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, and then we're going to go to James chapter 3. I thought it was interesting. James chapter 3 came out of the Bible study with the missionary. Mentioned they were working in that. Matthew chapter 12. Starting at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Look at James, and we're going to come back there quite a few times, but just look at verses 1 and 2 of James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. And I want you to think with that, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. These are all introductory verses. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make rule over all his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is the servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he knew not and did not, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And I want you to understand with that, at every level, you know, sometimes we think of children and they say what? Sometimes foolish and silly things. You don't hold them to the same level as you do a teenager who says foolish and silly things. You don't hold them to the same level as you do someone who's an adult and who's starting to take on the adult responsibilities in their 20s and in their 30s. But you really hold accountable when you get to people in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s and their 70s, and they have no control over what they say. It's an old colloquialism. There's no fool like an old fool. Okay, and I want you to understand, we need to be careful. And because in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Be not many masters. Okay, when you want to have responsibility, then guess what? You're going to be held accountable with greater accountability with that authority that you want. There's a saying that says, you are the master of the unspoken word. And I've said many times, and sometimes people would wish I would remember it more often, that the best words I ever spoke were the ones that I didn't speak. Amen? So that saying is, you are the master of the unspoken word, but the spoken word is the master of you. Think about that. Once it's been said, can it be taken back? Okay. Go to John chapter 12. And then we're going to go to James chapter 3. John chapter 12. Look at verse 47. This is Jesus speaking. John 12, 47. He says, if any man hear my what? W-O-R-D-S. See, I knew Joe, I'd give it to you when I was doing it. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my what? Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Why do you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Because you're accountable for the word of God. You're accountable for it. You know, back in James chapter 3, and I have to deal with this of myself all the time, because what do preachers do? They talk. Okay? And the more words you put out, the more words you're accountable for. Okay? You know what your Bible tells you? Be swift to hear and slow to wrath. The most harmful words we speak are when we get offended or when we get angry and we get something with that. And then you have a tendency, you can say things in a way that you should not say them. Because words are not only heard by the word spoken, they're heard by the intent of the heart giving them. They're heard by the body language giving them. Okay, you can ask my grandsons. They know when I'm frustrated. The minute I said that, I said, you can ask my grandson Sam. He looked right up at me and it's like, I know that, okay? You need to realize this, and it's something that we all struggle with at times, okay? But in James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For unto whom much is given, much is required. For in many things we offend all. You ever have that happen? You weren't trying to offend anything, but just the way you did it, it got everybody upset. If a man offend not in what? Word, the same as a perfect. He's a mature man. And able also to bridle the whole body. Bridle the whole body. See, we offend in many ways. If you can control your mouth, you'll be able to control your body. That affects so many things. You can be given, how many of you ever have gotten really sick and you took medicine and the next thing you know, you couldn't be held accountable for what came out of your mouth? If you've never had that, you haven't had strong medicine. Okay? You had to take strong pain pills. People, you know, sometimes people hallucinate under strong medicine. Had a conversation this week about that. Sometimes things can happen and you go, I never said that. Pastor Kinney came to the hospital right after I'd had one of my emergency lumbar surgeries. I was taken to the hospital the night before, and I didn't have control. I was in so much pain. My wife wanted to leave me in the wheelchair and then just go sit and talk to the nurses and let them disrespect her, because it would have been better, because I was in pain. And I looked at somebody, I'm going, can't you know I hurt? You know, and I'm going, I can't stand this. And you know, you understand that? Because I've had pain so bad you lose control of your bowels. You lose the shooting pains and you can't breathe. Okay? And then that very next morning, I was kept there all night. They operated me on at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I come out in recovery a couple hours later. And Pastor Caleb was there. And my wife, he came in. And he looked at me. And I looked at him and I go, I know you. You're Pastor Kinney. Sound like a kid's cartoon mule or something, and he starts laughing at me. And he goes, "Preacher, you're higher than a kite." And I said, "How high is that?" I didn't have any. I didn't know what it was saying. That's why when you go to visit somebody when they're coming out of anesthesia, don't hold them accountable. Okay? That's also something why you should not partake of something that causes you to lose control. Okay? Well, it's required for surgery. That's one thing. It's required. Isolate yourself. Some of the safest times I've ever had when I've been really sick or in a lot of pain, I've given the pain meds. My wife can just make sure I have water, can make sure I could do the things, closes the door, and I can be miserable with myself. Amen? You say, well, I like having attention given to me. So as long as she comes in and she gives me the washcloth on my head, you know, or she gives me ginger ale, or she makes me tapioca pudding. See, because tapioca pudding cures everything with me. I don't know how you are, but maybe it's the sweetness of it. Some people hate it. I get sick, she makes me tapioca pudding. Okay, you see why you're saying this? Because you are under the responsibility for what comes out of your mouth. You know, we do tit for tat. You mean anybody who's married for any length of time understands tit for tat, right? If you don't think about it, someone said something and they either meant it the way you heard it because they were frustrated, or they meant it and you heard it a different way and said, oh yeah, so then you give it back, okay? And swords are clashing, right? We are to speak kind words. Okay? Like I said, the best words you'll ever say is the ones you don't say. If it means you got to walk away until you calm down, come back, you do that. That's what I fight to win, and Judy does not like conflict, so she will say, I'm done talking to you. You can't tell me you're done talking to me. And she can sit there, and then all of a sudden, she's not talking to me. And then pretty soon, without her talking to me, I'm going, I'm sorry. Remember the old saying? Sticks and stones will, but what? That's a lie. Many times you're better off with a broken bone than with violent, destructive words. Verse 2 says, and in many things we offend all, and if a man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. And then he gives you some biblical illustrations in verses 3 and 4, and he says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I didn't understand that until I had to learn to ride horses to go hunting out west. Never ridden a horse before, had to take lessons, and had to learn how you can control that horse and having control of the reins. And being able to know you're pulling back on the reins or slacking in the reins, you know, using your heels and the different things and the way you control that. But you can turn the horse just by controlling the reins in its mouth. You're talking 1,200, 1,500 pound animals. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we turn about their whole body. And then it says, behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven with fierce winds, you got to remember these aren't atomic powered aircraft carriers. These are sailing ships in the time when the Bible was given. They be so great and are driven by of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with very small helm and whithersoever the governor listeth. You just turn the helm. You think of the wheel. The helmsman is at the wheel and the captain gives orders so many turns or so many things to starboard or to port. Okay, port or starboard, you turn. I can remember sailing with Howard, and he may drive slow, but he likes to sail in thunderstorms. And we were out trying to get in for one, and he's got that mast up there, and he's doing that, and he's leaning out, and he's controlling the... And he's just turning the rudder a little bit. We're trying to get in so we don't get hit by lightning, and the waves have started getting bigger. He's smiling. Ask him about that story sometime, because he scared me half to death. It doesn't take much to turn them. And then it goes on and it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. You see what that's talking about there? How much our body is controlled by our tongue? In premarital counseling, I try to teach each of the people, they got to understand, because I had learned it. And the more you teach it, the better. My wife loves it. Okay, every time you know what I'm saying? Repetition is the key of learning. So I turn around, I talk about a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's a biblical teaching, amen? If you're getting upset, you know what happens? Scientifically, chemically, your body chemistry changes as you get angry. Your brain chemistry changes. And then you start to get a little bit more insistent. And you get a little bit more insistent, and that causes your brain chemistry, the dopamine goes down, and you get a little bit more loud. And then the louder you get, the more angry you get. And the Bible teaches that a soft answer turneth away wrath, not just in the person you're speaking to, but also in you. It'll help you to maintain control. Because you know what we do when we get upset? We want to make sure they know we're upset. Yes or no? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Many times we let our tongue, which is controlled by our heart, control our body. Verses 5 and 6 of James. So we just read them. And it says it can sit the... It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. Many times what you say can take you many months to overcome with what you do, if you can even overcome it. It's a fire. It does great damage. The tongue is a fire. It defiles the whole body. You know, fire is neutral. It's neutral. It just burns. You know, fire is sometimes used for good. Aren't you glad that you either have, even if you, however you want to bring, you generate heat in your house? Aren't you glad that it's warmed? Okay. Fire can bring warmth, or fire can bring destruction. The tongue can love. It can encourage. And it can correct. Or the tongue can hate and discourage and destroy. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let no corrupt communication, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of what? Building up. That it may minister grace to the hearers. If it's not, you can give correction, loving correction. You can bring, the Bible says you're to, you know, the preachers, we're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. To reprove somebody is to show them what they're saying is wrong. To rebuke them is to get their attention. But that still can be done in a loving manner. Let all corrupt communication let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace is unmerited favor. That makes them feel that they are special to you. Grace is unmerited favor. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. So what comes out of your mouth can do what? Grieve the Holy Spirit within you. Goes on, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil what? Be put away from you with all malice, and be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That should be our hearts. You know, they get stuck because of the grandsons that are here. If Kent was here, I'd be talking about him. If Gabe was here, I'd be talking about him. If Michael was here, he's not here tonight. He's up there. I could use him as an illustration. You know, Heather, doesn't make any difference, my wife. But there's times when I've gotten upset as I'm trying to help the boys do something or help their father do something, and I get frustrated with them, and then my tone changes, and I get abrupt with them, and then I say, I'm sorry. You're not accountable for my reaction. Please forgive me. Sometimes I don't say that, but times I do. Please forgive me. You don't deserve for me to talk to you in that manner. If you've never done that, maybe you are mature and perfect in all your speech. Back to James. I love that, though. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. Forgiven me. Back in James chapter 3. Every kind of beast, verse 7, every kind of beast and of birds, of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man what? It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verses 9 and 10, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. In his image and likeness, right? Similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Was it telling it shouldn't be? You know why? We won't for sake of time, we won't turn there. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaketh. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. You see what's going on through this? You know what you have there? You have your two natures shown. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you have two natures. If you're not saved, you have one nature, a fallen nature. You're not double-minded. You're speaking as a fallen man and you speak like the world. But a saved person, which are you feeding? Which are you feeding? Okay, salt water or fresh water? I went snorkeling with my wife on one of our anniversary trips and took her down into the Bahamas. And we went on a snorkeling excursion. And I had been using a snorkel and a face mask a long time as a kid growing up in the Fairhaven Bay and stuff. For some reason, something happened with me down there, and I was worried about Judy because someone stole her snorkeling gear and stole her flippers. So she had to go around on a boogie board, and they gave her a new mask, and she could look down in the water because she wanted to see all the pretty fish. And they look gorgeous, and they look like they're right there. They're 10 feet away, but the water's so clear and blue, they look like they're right on you. And she was trying to catch up to a sea tortoise. That's got her in trouble twice going swimming, I'm telling you that. But she's turning around and she's paddling around, and I'm worried about her, so I'm not paying attention to my breathing and my expiation. And I inhaled half of the Caribbean Ocean. Salt water. We came out of there, my head was 10 times the size, and I went over and I stood off to the side where people couldn't see me, and Judy goes, are you okay? And as I turned around, it was like you'd opened two faucets for 5 minutes, blowing out of both nostrils. I got a big head, holds a lot of water. It was painful. Salt water is good for your nasal passages, but not that much. So, generally salt is considered a bitter herb. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a bitter seasoning. So you have to be careful with that. You can either have your old nature, which will let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking come. Or you can let your new nature be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It goes on in verse 13, and it says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works in meekness and wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. See the wisdom of the world? What is it? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's talking about worldly wisdom. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from where? Is first what? Then what? Then what? Then what? That means that you don't take offense right off the bat. You try to understand where they're coming from. Easily being treated? You ever have someone say, I wanted to talk to you, but I didn't think I could approach you? You were unapproachable. Some people put a wall up, a guard up, and you go, ooh, okay. That's not easily being treated. And it's a struggle because a lot of hurt has come out of people saying things, not thinking who they're giving the words to. In any church family, that happens. When I was pastor, even after I was the pastor emeritus, I've had to write and say, I'm sorry I offended you. Please forgive me. Let's talk. And there's people who have been restored to this church because of it. See, because we're not perfect. Be careful. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You have to esteem the pastor for his work's sake, but be very careful with that. It has to be as if Paul said, as I am a follower of Christ, you follow me. You with me? Okay. Then it says in verse 17, but that wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without what? And the fruit of righteousness sown in peace to them which make peace. The fruit of righteousness. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at two passages, we're done. I won't even comment on them. You believe that? No, see? Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things which are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the what? Fruits of righteousness. See, in the context, that's where your wisdom and your words are supposed to come from. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and to the praise of God. Galatians chapter 6, and we're done. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, your words, so shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.